الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Ramadan has three parts. The first 10 days are mercy, أَوَّلَهُ رَحْمَةً. The middle 10 days are maghfirah from Allah Ta'ala, وَأَوْسَطُهُ maghfirah. And the last 10 days are emancipation from the hellfire, وَإِذْكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. A few hours ago, we were just mentioning this, another gathering, that normally we see that in the first 3-4 days of Ramadan, we have a big surge and peak. And then after 6, 7, 8 Ramadan, it starts to dip again. Many of us, we have this jazba, passion at the beginning of Ramadan. And then we see that it begins to fade and dip in the middle. And then subhanAllah, with the last 10 days, the last ashra, because of searching for Laylatul Qadr, again there is a surge that we see. Now this is strange because the middle 10 days are the days of maghfirah. So actually we should be increasing our passion in these middle 10 days. And this is one way we can understand the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy, He allowed us to fast in the first 10 days, do this ibadah, increase in our ibadah, even though we were not worthy of such an honor. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala enabled us to do all those amal that we are doing, so that now we can earn His maghfirah, His forgiveness. And really, this is the whole month of Ramadan. The entire month of Ramadan is just an excuse for Allah Ta'ala to forgive our sins. So the whole system of Ramadan, every night, every day, thousands of this ummah will be taken out from the destiny of hellfire and they'll be admitted into Jannah. And since Allah has designed Ramadan for our maghfirah, Allah closed the doors of Jahannam for our maghfirah, opened the gates for Jannah for maghfirah. Allah chained all the shayateen for our maghfirah. Allah allowed us to fast so that we can do islah of our nafs. That's for maghfirah. We are praying Taraweeh at night for our maghfirah. So it is befitting that our response should be that rather than dipping and slipping and fading, rather than relaxing, We should spend these middle 10 days with a renewed passion. And the passion that we should have is that we want to seek the maghfirah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, that Nabbi ibadi anni, that oh my beloved Messenger, tell the people, tell my ibad, tell my servants, ana al-ghafoorur rahim, that I am ghafoor and I am rahim. So we have done rahim and rahman last time. Now today, inshallah, we'll be doing two other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ghafoor and al-ghaffar. And both of them are derived from ghainfara. The basic meaning is to cover, to shield, to protect, to forgive. But there is a slight difference in these two names, ghafoor and ghaffar. The difference is that ghaffar is that being whose forgiveness is continuous. It's a repetitive act. Meaning, no matter how many times a person may sin, Allah Ta'ala can continually forgive him or her for his sins. And al-ghafoor, on the other hand, is understood as forgiving a sin no matter how large that sin may be. No matter how big that sin is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that sin. So way to make a distinction between the two names is we can think that al-ghaffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive all the quantity of sins multiple times, over and over again, continuously, repetitively. It has to do with the quantity. Everything is small for Allah. And ghafoor deals with the quality of a sin. It's a very heinous crime, a very big transgression, rebellion. Allah is al-ghafoor, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that sin also. So al-ghafar, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi translates al-ghafar as the very forgiving, whose forgiveness is continuous and repetitive. And al-ghafoor as the most forgiving one, whose forgiveness is for every sin, no matter how large that sin may be. So we have to become people who earn the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this important? Because whenever we sin, sin is something that we do to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we do something khilaf the sunnah of the Prophet says, no, that is called a sin in Islam. Whenever we sin, there is some blackness, some darkness, some hardness that comes in our heart. And whenever we do some act of good deed, some nur will come into our heart. So if we sin and we have these black spots on our heart, then they will keep on increasing. They ultimately corrode a person's heart. And there are certain effects that are associated with these sins. For example, sins, they make a person worried. They make a person parishan, agitated. There's always an agitation in their heart. There's always a musiba in that person's life. They feel that the rahmat has ended in their life. This is one of the consequences of sin, that it brings parishani, it brings musiba, some difficulty, hardship in a person's life. And sometimes it also creates be'itmanani and lack of contentment in that person's heart. That person doesn't feel sukoon, doesn't feel peace and tranquility. They're always depressed. They always feel that sadness, an emptiness, a vacuum inside. They have all the wealth, they have all the izzah, honor. But if you ask them, they'll feel there's something emptiness in their heart. Sometimes they become depressed. People sometimes go all the way and commit suicide, despite being very wealthy and very rich and famous. Why? Because they lack that contentment. And this contentment is taken away because of sins. And another effect of sin is that Allah takes away the tawfiq to do good deeds. A person forces himself to do ibadah but doesn't want to do ibadah. becomes difficult for that person to rise up at Fajr, becomes difficult for that person to practice the Sharia, difficult for a person to stop lying, difficult for a person to control his gaze. Yani he views the Sharia as a very rigid, strict code of conduct. And he feels as if I'm inside a prison. He views all these things to be like chains. Uski tabia is not according to the Sharia. He's not willing to accept the Sharia from his heart. Why? Because in the heart there is zulmat, there is darkness. And the heart doesn't want to, is not inclined towards good deeds. And sometimes this person also makes dua, and duas are also not accepted. That kubuliya is taken away. There is bebarakati, kubuliya is taken away, and then a person further drifts away from Allah. So that's why it's very important for us that we have to remove our sins. We have to leave these sins. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and to forgive all the effects of our sins. So that if any one of us is having or experiences such effects in our life, so this is an opportunity for us that we can make dua to Allah ta'ala, that Allah please forgive all my sins and all the negative effects, Allah remove that also from my life. And that's the pledge that we have to make to Allah, promise that we have to make to Allah of earning Allah's maghfirah, forgiveness. And no better time than to earn this forgiveness in this month of Ramadan and in the second Ashra, the middle 10 days. Today is the 11th fast here. So we have 9 opportunities. 10 days, you can think about 10 days to earn the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah, in his book Al-Iman Al-Awsat, he has mentioned 10 ways in which a person can earn Allah's maghfirah. So we thought that today, inshallah, we'll share with you those 10 ways in which all of us, we can earn the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try to listen to these 10 points very carefully. And the more we can use these points, we can see some will apply to us. And we should try to use as many asbab, as many points as we can in order to try to get our sins forgiven in this Ashra of Maghfirah. So 10 days to go and 10 means of forgiveness. The first thing which forgives a person's sins is called Tawbah. Tawbah means that a person empties his heart of sins, of the desire for sin, and he feels that, Ya Allah, whatever I did in the past, I will not do it again. He empties his heart of any desire of sin. There's no chahat, no desire inclination. He purifies his heart and then he promises to Allah, pledges to Allah, that Allah, in future, I will not go back to that sin. And this tawbah is a delete button. Just like when we have these messages, an overflow of messages, we press the delete all. You press delete all, it's finished. Everything is gone. Exactly in the same way, when a person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deletes all their sins. No matter how many sins there are in that person's book of deeds, everything is forgiven. The records are wiped away. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith Mubarakah, "At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kama la zamba lahu," that a person who makes tawbah is like that person who has never ever sinned in his life. And this tawbah, every person has to do. If there is an unbeliever, they make tawbah from their unbelief. If there is a normal, regular Muslim, they make tawbah from their major sins. If someone says that I don't have any major sins, he has to make tawbah from his ghafla, heedlessness. And if someone says that I'm not even ghafil of Allah, I'm always aware of Allah, always conscious of Allah, even that person has to make tawbah from the wasavis of nafs and shaitan. Even people are very pious and righteous, they also experience these wasavis coming from shaitan, from their own nafs. Sometimes even salah, these wasavis come. And if there is a person who says that I don't even have these wasavis in my salah, I don't have these whisperings even in my salah, I have yaksui, oneness, focus, concentration in my salah, Even that person has to make tawbah. Tawbah because of the deficiency in his ikhlas. Deficiency in sincerity. So there is no person who can claim that I can make ibadah with full ikhlas, with full sincerity. There's no person who can make that claim. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. Tero Allah, I was not able to make your ibadah as is your haqq. So when the Prophet ﷺ is saying that I was not able to make your ibadah as is your right, then who are we and you? Who can dare to say that I was able to fulfill the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that's why the lack or the deficiency of sincerity, person has to make tawbah for that also. So we understand that whether a person is pious, whether a person is religious or irreligious, pious or impious, no matter whatever halat he is in, or she is in, they have to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person, it's a zarura, it's a need that we have to make tawbah. But just sometimes the question comes that there are certain sins in our life, we make a lot of effort to leave those sins, but they don't leave it, but they don't leave our life. We're not able to take ourselves out from that sin. Some young men, young women, they're stuck in sins. And they think that we can never leave this sin. It looks impossible for us. So we have to understand that this is also a dhoka, deception of shaitan. Yes, it's difficult for us to leave that sin. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, then it'll become easy for us. If Allah ta'ala intends for us to leave that sin, then where's the difficulty? It becomes easy. So we should have hope in the mercy of Allah. We should always try to attach ourselves to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, it's difficult for me to leave this sin, but Allah, it's easy for you to make me leave this sin. And I'm making dua to you and asking you that, Allah, I'm weak, I'm zaif, you are a qawi. Every zaif and weak turns towards the strong. Allah, I'm turning towards you and asking you that out of your strength, Allah, make me leave this sin. Allah, nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, save me from the zillat, the embarrassment of this sin, and grant me the izzat, the honor of obedience. So this is one thing. And the second thing is that when a person really understands the negative consequences of sin, and not just understands intellectually, when they really know with certainty that if I do this, I'll get a slap. If I do this sin, then this negative thing will happen in my life. The moment a person gets yakin about the negative consequences of sin, then my sins will lead to musiba, parishani, will lead to be'itminani, lack of contentment, will lead me away from good deeds. My du'as will not be accepted. The moment a person gets this yakin in their heart, that moment they will start leaving sin. We see this all the time. The moment you have yakin, we have yakin about so many other things. I have yakin that if I touch the snake, he will bite me. I don't go near that snake. I have yakin that if I touch the scorpion, it's going to bite me. I won't even go near that scorpion. When we have yakin about something, we don't even go near that thing. I have yakin that if I touch this live 1000 watt wire, I will die. I won't even go near that wire. I have yakin that this fire will burn me. I won't go near it. So the snake might be looking very beautiful, but I won't go near that snake. I know, because I will die. Exactly in the same way. The moment he realizes, the moment that yakin enters into his heart or her heart, that if I touch this major sin, this will lead to the death of my spiritual heart. That's it. That person will never even go near that sin. That person will try to suppress and subdue all the temptations of sin, because he knows if I go near, then this is what is going to happen. It's going to lead to my spiritual death. So first amal through which we can earn the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah, is to make true tawbah to Allah ta'ala. Second action through which a person's sins are forgiven is known as istighfar. Istighfar means that a person has remorse and regret about their previous sin, about their past. And istighfar and tawbah are sometimes used interchangeably, but there is a difference between the two words. Tawbah refers to your pledge and promise that I will not make this sin again. I will not commit this sin again in the future. You empty your heart of that inclination of sin, and you make a irada, a pledge that in the future, I will stay away. That's called tawbah. Istighfar means that some sin that you've already done, now you feel remorse, regret, you feel embarrassed, that why did I do that sin? A person feels that pain inside their heart. That I sinned and I bruised myself. I sin and I soiled my heart. They start viewing that sin as a pain, not as a pleasure. That I harmed myself, I pained myself, I oppressed myself. And that's why in Quran also Allah Ta'ala uses this word, zalamana, that I've done zulm on myself. So istighfar has to do with your past. That a person feels that I committed the sin, was a very bad amal, and now I feel that shame, remorse, and regret in my heart. I shouldn't have done it. This kafiyat of the heart is known as istighfar. And then after this, a person seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practically speaking. That Allah, I feel this remorse and regret. Allah, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And this istighfar is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person gets a lot of ni'mat, a lot of blessings because of this istighfar. That's why Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates that the Prophet said that that person who does istighfar regularly and continuously, then Allah ta'ala will take that person out from every difficulty. And Allah will take that person out from every constriction into expansion. And Allah will give rizq to that person from where that person doesn't even expect. Sayyidina, and there are three big benefits that are mentioned in this hadith. That Allah will remove difficulty from that person's life. Number two, Allah will expand the halat of that person, will grant kushadagi, will grant expansion and remove the constriction, the narrowness from that person's life. And number three, Allah will give rizq from where that person doesn't even anticipate. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, he was in one gathering and one young man came to him and said that, Hazrat, I'm a very big sinner. Can you please tell me some amal? Can you tell me some action which I can do? Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala said that you should do istighfar. Then another person came. Then Hazrat, it hasn't rained for so long. Can you tell me some amal because of which Allah ta'ala can shower rain upon us? He replied, do istighfar. Then a third person came. That Hazrat, I'm very poor. I don't have rizq. I have problems in my rizq. Can you tell me some amal? Hazrat replied that do istighfar. Then a fourth person came. Hazrat, I don't have aulad. I don't have children. I've been married for so long, but we don't have children. Can you make dua and can you tell me some amal through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give me children? He replied, do istighfar. Then another person came, said, Hazrat, I have a garden. And make dua that Allah gives me good yield, good plant, you know, good crop, good fruits. Hazrat said that make istighfar. Then another person came. Hazrat, make dua for me that I have a well in my house and I want that the water should come out from that well. Hazrat said to him, istighfar. Make istighfar. Now the people who were in that gathering, they were surprised, they were amazed. That all different kinds of people are coming with different questions, different needs. And Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, he is telling just one amal, do istighfar. So one person from that gathering, he asked, Hazrat, what is this? that you have a general solution to every problem, istighfar. And then Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, he replied that, look, I'm not prescribing the solution on my own. This is a general prescription that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in the Quran. This is a Quranic prescription. Yeah, I'm a general physician. This is a general prescription that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran. And then he recited this ayat of the Quran, فَقُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. So first, that a person's sins are forgiven because of istighfar. That's the first part of this ayah. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Then the ayah continues, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. And through istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers rain. Allah ta'ala sends rain from the heavens. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. And because of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps a person with money. And if those who understand Arabic, it's not money, it's monies. يُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ, not mal. Mal is wealth. Amwal is plural. Monies, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Quran. Allah helps when a person makes istighfar, Allah helps that person with monies or wherever you're living, dollars, right? Allah, yani, removes the poverty of that person, the ghurba of that person. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps a person by providing aulad. Allah gives him children. And baneen is male here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give them. If a person has a desire for male children, Allah ta'ala can give that also because of istighfar. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them jannat, fruits. Allah puts barakah in their work, puts barakah, puts profit in their task, in their crops, in their yield, in their whatever task that they're doing. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets rivers flow for them, water flow for them. So you see, istighfar is one amal, and a person gets so many ni'mat because of this one amal. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ also used to do istighfar. In one riwayat, it's mentioned 70 times, another 100 times. And hence, we should also have this habit of doing istighfar. We don't need to go to people, we don't need to do some other amal. If a person starts making istighfar, then because of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us all of these blessings. And if you see, all of us, whenever we think about our zaruriyat or needs, it's one of these things. And we can get all of these things if we make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no need to run to different people. We have this amal, Quranic amal, general prescription for all the problems, all the issues. We should do kasrat istighfar. And when a person does kasrat istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also starts accepting the dua of that person. That Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah has written that I was traveling and I met a person who was at a shop, who was making some roti. And I was observing him from a distance, and I saw that he would always, whenever he would do anything, whenever he would be cooking or putting the roti inside the oven, for every action he would be saying istighfar, istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Any the word of istighfar was continuous on his tongue. So I found this to be very ajeeb. And I came to him and asked him that I saw that you're making istighfar all the time. Have you seen the barakat of this in your life? Is there any special thing that you have seen in your life because of istighfar? He said that yes. That every dua that I make to Allah Ta'ala, Allah has accepted that dua. Yes, there is one dua which is still remaining. And I have umid, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua also. So he asked him, which dua is left? He said that I've made dua that there is a very pious scholar by the name of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. I'm here in my city. I don't have chance to go to Baghdad and meet him. But it's my dua to Allah, that my desire that Allah, I wish to do ziyarah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah. And at this point, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah hugged him and said him, Mubarak, that I am Ahmad bin Hanbal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled this dua of yours also. A person, because of istighfar, their du'as are accepted. They become mustajabud da'wat. So we can use any formula that we want to. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli zambi wa atubu ilay. This is very short but very jame. And we should try at least to decide this 100 times daily. Because this was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If you don't have time to say the whole formula, then simply astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. This is an easy way to become mustajabud dawat, a person whose du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ explained this further, that any person, man or a woman, when they make istighfar during the day or night, 27 times they make istighfar for the entire Muslim ummah, Allahumma ghfirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. This is a formula. Allahumma ghfirli, Allah forgive me, wa li walidayya and my parents, wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. Then Allah forgive me, my parents, all the mu'mineen, all the mu'minat, all the muslimin, all the muslimat. Any person who makes this dua, istighfar for the entire ummah, 27 times daily, then because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start accepting that person's dua. Unki har dua, they will become mustajabud dawa. And this is a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that that person's dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's because of such people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give risk to other people on the earth. So we can make this ihtimam. It's not difficult. 27 times to make this dua. And we were making dua forgiveness for us and for the entire Muslim ummah. And istighfar, again, every person has to do. If a person is pious, they have to make istighfar. This might sound a bit strange. But yes, the Prophet ﷺ also used to make istighfar. That means that we also have to make istighfar. When Nabila Salatu Islam, when he performed wudu, after wudu, he would say istighfar. Despite the fact that wudu is an ibadat, it's the hukum of the sharia. We're not doing some sin. When a person makes wudu, their sins are being washed away from their limbs. So it's actually an amal which washes your sin. But still, after making wudu, the Prophet ﷺ made istighfar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilay. So we make istighfar after wudu. Now look at another thing, salah, namaz. It's such a big ibadah. And that person who prays their salah regularly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washes the sin from that person like a person washes themselves of their filth if they are living near a flowing stream. Just like a flowing stream can wash away the sins of a person. You know, five times you can take a bath and wash yourself. In the same way, a person who regularly prays salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washes and cleans that person from sins. But even after namaz, after salah, the Prophet ﷺ used to make istighfar. It comes in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would say his salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and the other side, then he would say Allahu Akbar once, and then astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What does this mean? That the person just completed his ibadah, his salah, and after that they're still making istighfar. So the reason is because we made ibadah, but our ibadah cannot fulfill the mayar, the right of Allah. Our ibadah can never reach that standard, that higher standard. Can never reach that shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty of Allah. No matter how much yaksui and oneness and sincerity and ikhlas and concentration we have in our ibadah can never reach the shan, the majesty of Allah, the maqam, the rank of Allah. And hence we, after making ibadah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, please don't reject it. Even though it's falling short, Allah, please accept it. Please accept it. Please accept it. And that's what we are saying. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. We are doing ajizi, humbling ourselves before Allah. That Allah, this, please accept this ibadah that I offered for you. Then, Tahajjud Salah. Tahajjud is such a big, azim ibadah. And then people who pray Tahajjud, after praying Tahajjud, they also make istighfar. Allah says in Quran, Kanu qalilam min al-layli ma yahja'un wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. That at the time of Tahajjud, they're also, these are people who are making istighfar. Then Hajj, such a big ibadah, that a person becomes as so pure from their sins as if it's like the day they were born. They were given birth by their mother. But Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that summa afizu min haisu afaza nas, that after Hajj, wastaghfirullah, you should make istighfar. Then another look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The blessed, Mubarak, beautiful life of the Prophet ﷺ was full of ibadah. There was no life that is more purer than, it is purer than the life of the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, that make hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also istighfar. So that the Rasulullah, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most pure individual with the most pure ibadah, with the most sincere ibadah and worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Abbi, you also make istighfar. Do kasrat istighfar. So the result then is that all of us, we have to make istighfar, and we should do istighfar abundantly every day of our life. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay, or astaghfirullah, 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 at least 100 times daily. This is the second way through which a person's sins are forgiven. Third action, al-hasanatul mahiya, that whatever good deeds a person does, because of those good deeds also person's sins are forgiven. When a person prays salah, their salah washes their sins. When a person gives sadaqah, khairat, charity in the path of Allah, it washes a person's sins. So whatever good deeds, acts of ibadah a person does, they become a kafara for that person's sin. They wash away the sins. In Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablahu. That when a person brings Islam, they recite the kalima, then all the sins of the previous life are forgiven. In another place, when a person does Hajj, all the previous sins, the past sins are forgiven. In another hadith, when a person makes a migration for the sake of Allah, hijrat for the sake of Allah, all the past sins are forgiven. Bani Israel, there was a fahisha woman from Bani Israel. She once gave water to a thirsty dog. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala forgave her sins. So doing akhlaq, having good akhlaq towards other people, this also wipes away the sins of a person. And Allah ta'ala has laid down the usul, the principle in the Quran, that your good deeds will wipe away your bad deeds. Innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyi'at. So practically, what we should do is that we should try to increase in our good deeds. Now here also shaitan attacks a person. Shaitan puts this waswasa in our heart that look at you, you're doing this sin. You can never leave that sin. So why bother with doing those good deeds that you're doing? Let's say if a person is not able to control their gaze, but he's regular in their salah. So shaitan will come and say that you're not able to control your gaze. What's the point of praying? He will try to deceive, delude a person. So our response should be that if we are not able to leave certain sins from our life, we should not, at least we should not leave those neki, those good deeds that we are doing. Right? Because maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us the tawfiq to leave those sins because of those good deeds. In fact, what we should do is that every bad deed that we do, we should follow it up with a good deed. That should be our principle. We should think about this ayat of the Quran. If I cannot leave that sin altogether, then what I will do is that I'm going to follow that up with a good deed right there, right now. If a person sins at night, instead of now becoming lazy and lackadaisical and sort of just regretting and just falling back into sleep and then missing our fajr, what we should do is right now at that point in the time when we are sinning, after we are done with that sin, we should then make true tawbah to Allah. We stand up and start praying before Allah, force ourselves. You follow that bad deed with a good deed. This is what happens in your boxing matches also, that they punch you down. The coach is not disturbed that my fighter was punched down, was knocked down. But he is disturbed when the fighter does not get back up again to fight the good fight. When shaitan punches us down, we should just rise back up again and fight the good fight. Follow it up with a good deed. And then maybe Allah can accept and we can use that as a dua to Allah. Tell Allah, you just saw how weak I am. Again, I fell back into that same sin. And Allah, I come to you tonight imploring you and I'm presenting this good deed to you. Allah, make this a means for me to exit the sin completely. Allah, I am weak. I will never be able to leave the sin on my own. But ya Allah, I ask you that you take me out from that sin. You pluck me out and grant me a complete kamil mukammal exit from this sin. That's the time to do ruju ila Allah. It's a time to turn in tawbah to Allah. Because that's the time when Allah's mercy will be at its peak, at its maximum. When after a person sins, they turn to Allah in tawbah. And what better way to turn to Allah than by offering a good deed to Allah? That Allah, this is my, accept this excuse from me. So we should follow it up with a good deed. In fact, if a person is increasing in their sins, and the sins, we're not able to leave those sins, we should try to increase in our good deeds, whatever good deeds we can do. If reciting Quran is easy, increase your recitation of Quran. If reciting durood and salawat is easy, you should do that. If you have a lot of wealth and you can spend freely, start spending with the niyat that Allah, make this a kafara or compensation for my sins. Allah, make this a means to earn maghfirah. Make this a means, ya Allah, through which you can forgive my sins. Innal hasanat yuzhiban as-sayyi'at. If you can pray tahajjud, start praying tahajjud. Become regular in your tahajjud. Make du'as now. Increase your du'as. Prolong your du'as. Allah, make this amal an excuse. If you are interacting with other people, interact with them with husni akhlaq, with husni suluk, with good manners, good character, good akhlaq. Why? So that the zulmat, the darkness of that sin will go away. All these things, they wipe away a person's sins. In one hadith, it comes when two Muslims, they meet and they shake hands, they do musafaha. So before they release their hands, before they separate their hands, the sins, they are falling from their hands, from their body, just like leaves, they fall from a tree. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Just like leaves, they fall from a tree during autumn season. And in the US, you know, autumn, all the trees, they shed their leaves. So that's the way a person's sins are being washed away. They're falling from their life, from their book, from the Naam-e-Aamal. So men can say salam to men, women can say salam to women, and they can get this fazila. We can get our sins forgiven by increasing our good deeds. Fourth amal through which a person sins, fourth action through which a person's sins are forgiven, du'a ul mu'mineen lil mu'min. The du'a that the believers make for each other. This is also a means for forgiveness. When people make du'a for us, or we make du'a for others, then in this way, our sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we pray our salah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can all of you hear me? All of you can hear me, right? Okay. Alhamdulillah. So the fourth amal through which a person can earn the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dua of mu'mineen for fellow believers. And that's why when a person prays their salah, they should make dua for themselves, for their parents, for their relatives, for how their people living in their house, for their family, for their spouse, for their children, for their neighbors, for all the believers, in fact, for the entire Muslim Ummah. And that's why Allah Ta'ala has taught this dua in the Quran, that Rabbana ghfir lana, Rabbana ghfir lana, wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabakuna bil iman. That, oh Allah, forgive us and also forgive all those people who came before us. And it comes in Hadith Mubarakah that when a person dies and if there are 40 people present for his janazah, salatul janazah, then because of that janazah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of that person. Because salatul janazah, what is salatul janazah? It's basically making dua for the deceased. And hence, when people make dua for the deceased, or they make dua for each other, then as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of that person. So we should do this kasrat. We should try to make duas for each other as much as we can. And we should try also to take the duas of other people. When we make duas for other people, one benefit is that we can also get the du'as for our own self. In Hadith, it comes when a person makes du'as for other people, the angels, they reply back and say, Ameen walaka Ameen. They say, Ameen to your du'a. So you say that, Allah, please forgive that person. They say, Ameen. So that person gets your du'a and the Ameen of the angel. But then the angel also makes a du'a for you, walaka Ameen. That may Allah grant that you also the same thing. May Allah forgive you also. And then the angel says, Ameen. So end up getting the dua of the angel and the Ameen of the angel. Whereas when you're making dua for the other person, they are getting your dua and the Ameen of the angel. So subhanAllah, we should do this with kasra. We should try to make dua for other people. And especially dua behind their back, because that dua is accepted more readily and quickly. So one thing is that a person should make dua for other, and then the other is that we should also request other people to make dua for us, especially those people who are pious, who have a connection with Allah. We should ask them to make dua for us so that because of their duas, our sins are forgiven. And this is the ta'lim, the teaching of the Sharia. Once the Prophet ﷺ was with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an intended to perform Umrah, went for Umrah. So in the Hadith, it's mentioned the Prophet ﷺ came to Umar and said that, oh my brother, that keep us in your du'as. Remember us in your du'a. So hence, we should also have this habit of asking other people to make du'as for us. Ask our parents to make du'a for us. Ask our teachers to make du'a for us. Ask our elders to make du'a for us. Asking and requesting them to make dua for us, that's one thing. And the other is that we should try to become such a person that we don't even have to ask them, automatically their hearts are making dua. That's a very beautiful way to become. That we change ourselves in such a way that we start becoming, we do their khidma so much, and we are pleasing them so much, and we are following them, we are helping them, we are becoming a source of comforts, consolation, and support for them in such a way to the extent that their hearts are automatically making dua for us. So for people who are young, they should try to earn the duas of their elders. For people who are old, they should also try to earn the duas of their pious. And there are especially three duas which we should, all of us should try to make a special effort to getting these three duas in our life. First is the dua of our parents. And for those who, you know, who have parents, whom parents are hayat and alive, it's a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The duas of parents are accepted very quickly in the law. And it's a big ni'mah that our parents are alive. So we should, what we should do is practically we should serve them. We should make their hearts happy so that their hearts are making dua for us. And the barakah is that when the parents, they make dua for their children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them barakah in the rizq. Allah forgives their sins, but also Allah ta'ala gives them barakah in the rizq, in their dunya. And the second is that we should try to get the duas of our teachers in deen. People who taught us deen, our ulama, our mashayikh, our asatiza, we should ask them to make dua for us, and we should try to become such people to earn their duas. The benefit is because their duas will put barakah in our deen. Parents' duas will put barakah in our dunya, in our rizq, in our world. The teachers of our deen, their duas will put barakah in our deen, in our ilm, in our amal, in our taqwa, in our khidmat of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the work of deen from us if we have the duas of, if we have their duas at our back. And the third is that we should try to take the duas of our spouse. And the benefit of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in our awlad, in our children. Those people, that couple which has a loving relationship with each other, they make dua. A lot of times it happens that we take this relationship for granted. We take this relationship so, you know, for granted so much so that we don't even make dua for each other. This is a mistake. We should make dua for each other, because not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the other person's sins, but also we will be able to get barakah in our offsprings, in our awlad. Allah will put barakah there. So we should have this habit. This is the fourth amal, that when we make dua for other people, and when other people, the believers, they make dua for us, because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of a person. Fifth thing which forgives the sins of a person is known as ma yu'malu lil mayyit min a'mal al bir. That if a person passes away, then the good deeds which are done on his behalf, the good deeds that are done on his behalf, they also wipe the sins of that person who passed away. So for example, our parents, they pass away, and a person performs Hajj and Umrah, or they recite Quran, do Tilawat-e Quran, and then they use these acts of Ibadah to forgive them. They use these acts of Ibadah as a way to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. Or they raise some orphan, and their intention is that they want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their amal and pass the sawab and the reward of this amal to their parents. So this will also, their sawab reaches them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins, forgives their sins because of our good deeds. So whatever good amal we are able to do, in any way, maybe we can, some philanthropy, some charity, or people who have money, they're performing their own ibadah like Hajj or Umrah, Tilawat-e Quran. We do these acts of Ibadah, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these acts, pass the reward to them, pass the sawab to them, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use these amal as a way to forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them because of our amal-e-bir, good deeds that we do. I'll give you a story here of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Mulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh. It's a beautiful story. That there was once a very pious wali of Allah, friend of Allah, and he went to a graveyard, and while passing by, he felt that, let me recite some ayat of the Quran, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all the people who were resting in this graveyard. So he did that, and then that night he had a dream. And he saw that in that graveyard, all the people, all the deceased, he saw them in the dream. And he saw that there was a one person who came with some kind of a bag in his hand. And he opened that bag, and all the deceased are running towards that person. And then this person is taking out things and giving it to each person. So he asked him that, "What is this? What's happening here?" Meanwhile, he also saw that in that dream, there is one person who was not running, who was just sitting in one corner relaxing. So he asked that person who was sitting that, "Why aren't you running? And what's happening here?" So then he said to me that whenever people of Iman, the du'as that they make, people who are alive in the dunya, the du'as that they make, they come to us every day in like a parcel. It's like a post message that comes to us and it reaches all of us. And then every deceased, it's their desire that I want to get my part, I want to get my portion, and I want to get my portion. That's why they're running. They're trying to get their portions, which are from the du'as of the believers, the du'as that the believers are making for them. So then he asked him that, why aren't you running? Don't you need a share and a portion from the du'as of the believers? He said that, "I have a young son. I have a young boy, and I made him hafiz the Quran, and he is in that fala shop, in that fala market. And when the customers are not around, he takes out his cup, he takes and he starts reciting Quran. He's hafiz, so he just starts reciting Quran. So every day, because of his recitation of Quran, I get so much sawab, so much reward that I don't need to race. I'm not in a hurry. I let other people take their share, and then afterwards I go and take my share." Then this person's eye, he woke up from that dream and he thought that, "Let me go and see, let me go to that bazaar, that market, and see if there is that person whom I saw in my dream." So he went to that particular market, went to that particular shop, and then saw that there is one person there. And he would deal with his customers. And when the customers were no longer there, he would just start reciting Quran. He was a hafiz, he was reciting Quran on his own. So then he says that, "I understood that my dream is true." Then Allah Kishan, it so happened that some time passed by, some years passed by, and I again happened to pass by that same graveyard. And again, I recited some ayat and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the people inside the grave. And then again that night I had a dream and I saw that there was a person who's bringing some post and all the deceased are racing and running towards that person to get their share. And this time I saw that even that person was also running and racing. So I asked him that, "What happened now? Why are you running?" So he replied that, "My son, who was hafiz the Quran, recently he passed away. Now I have no one in the dunya who will recite Quran for me and will send the sawab my way. So now I have to go like the am mu'mineen. I have to go and get my share in the du'as of the am believer." So we should try. This is sadaqa jariya. If we have aulad, sons and daughters, we should try to make them religious, make them hafiz al-Quran, make them alim, make them religious, because these things will help us in our akhirah. These things will help us inside our grave. The sixth thing which forgives the sins is al-masa'ib. Al-masa'ib allati yukaffirullahu biha al-khataya fi dunya. Said whatever musibah or difficulty a person, a mu'min, a believer gets in this life, in this worldly life. So as a result of this musibah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of that person. This becomes an excuse for the forgiveness of sins. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet said that ma yusibul mu'mina min wasabin wala nasabin wala hammin wala huznin illa kaffarallahu biha min khatayahu. That whatever type of musibah, difficulty, a person gets grief, sorrow, suffering, inner anxiety, outer, whatever a person gets in this life, in this dunya, In return for every one of that difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of that person. Subhanallah. Then a mu'min is always in good hands. Right? Even if there's some difficulty, Allah will use that as an excuse to do maghfirah of his sins. Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was sitting and she had a lamp in her hujra. And one breeze came and extinguished the lamp. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That indeed we are from Allah, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have to return. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she became surprised that Ya Rasulullah, when the lamp, the light extinguished, the lamp is extinguished, is this also something on which we should say Inna lillah? This is very small musibah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that yes, that even if it's a very small thing, whatever the musibah, whatever the difficulty, if a person recites Inna lillah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give ajr to that person. And we should think about this. That for a mu'min, if your lamp in the room and the light of that lamp goes away and you recite Inna lillah and you get ajr, so then if some close beloved person, someone who's beloved to you, if they pass away and a person has sabr on that musibah and they recite Inna lillah, then how much ajr would that person get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama, they have written that this musibah can be very small, to the extent that if there's a person who has two pockets and he kept his watch in one of the pockets, and then when he wants to take out that watch, he first checks the other pocket and he gets a shock that the watch is not there. And that moment, the shock that he got, and then after one moment he checks the other pocket and he finds his watch. But this even a fraction of a moment or a few moments that he felt that shock, that anxiety, in return for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of that person. So for a moment, he is getting ajr and reward for everything. What we need to learn is to become people of sabr. And this is precisely the deception of shaitan. Shaitan wants us to become people who are impatient. Shaitan wants us to become people who are always objecting. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? And as a result, when a person starts objecting, they don't have sabr, the musibah will go away eventually. But we also lose the ajr that we could have gotten on that musibah through sabr. And that's why we need to make this our adat, our habit, to inculcate sabr inside our nafs, inculcate sabr inside of our tabiyah, inside of our temperament. That instead of fighting, instead of, sometimes it happens when you're in different relationships and people are different mizaj, different tabiyah, different temperaments. And if there are some ups and downs in a person's life, we need to have sabr. And we need to think that because of this sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive my sins. It becomes easy now to have that restraint when you know that Allah is going to forgive your sins. And that is precisely what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising to you to do. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, that He will forgive if we have sabr. So we should try to live our life with sabr and not deprive ourselves of the ajr of that sabr. When we are impatient, that musibat cannot go away from us. But the ajr that we were supposed to get on that musibat, that will go away from us. In hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of Qiyamah, I will be at the gates of Jannah and will be about to enter into Jannah. And at that time, there will be one woman who will be with me, and she will also be entering into Jannah. And it would seem as if she wants to enter the Jannah even before me. And then I will ask the angels that, who is this woman? And they will tell me that this is a widow from your ummah. And she had 12 sons, 12 children. And one by one, She lost all her 12 sons, and she stopped her tears. She swallowed her grief, and she did ghusl of her son, and she wrapped them with the kafan, and then she buried them with her own hands. And because of this musibah and the sabr that she had at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this mother such a high maqam and rank, such a high maqam, that she will be in Jannah right behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almost with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she'll be entering into Jannah. So the lesson is that whatever difficulties we get in our life, we should do sabr. This dunya is a place of difficulties. It's an imtihan. It's a place of examination. Allah will test us. What we have to do is we have to have sabr. We have to exercise patience. Allah says, "Inna Allah ma'as sabreen." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who are patient. We should not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for difficulty. Don't ask me, don't make dua to Allah for difficulty, because we don't know whether we'll pass that test or not. But if some difficulty comes our way, some grief or sadness comes our way, then we should respond with sabr so that the ajr is not wasted away. Seventh thing, which because of which a person's sins are forgiven. Ma yahsulu fil qabri min al fitnati wa zaghtati wa rawati. So when a person passes away and goes inside the grave, so there is something which will happen known as zaghta, zaghta. The qabr will press that person. The walls of that grave will press that person from both the sides. And if that person was a sinner, then they would press that person in such a way that the right ribs will go into the left and the left ribs will enter into the right. It'll be in very immense pain. This is known as zaghta qabr, the pressing of the grave. And this zaghta, or this pressing, will also, this will happen even to those people who are pious. This will happen to people who are pious and impious. Both of them will face this. This is a point to understand. You know, a person might be initially surprised, then even people who are pious will also face this. Yes. There was a one Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ by the name of Hazrat Saad radiallahu ta'ala an. When he passed away, Nabi ﷺ led his Salati Janaza. And then when they were going towards the graveyard, the Prophet ﷺ was tiptoeing. He was walking on his toes. And one Sahabi asked that, "Ya Rasulullah, you are walking on your toes. Why?" And the Prophet ﷺ replied that there are so many angels have descended from the sky in order to participate in the Salat al-Janaza of the Sahabi Saad radiallahu ta'ala an, that there's not enough space for me to keep my feet properly. And the second thing that the Prophet ﷺ said, that at the passing away of Saad radiallahu ta'ala an, even the throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wept for 3 days. This is that Sahabi, that the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wept for 3 days. But even this Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ said that even Saad will face this pressing of the grave. Even Saad will experience the pressing of the grave. So we understand that every person will have to face this pressing of the grave. Question comes that if a person is pious, why would they have to face such a thing? So the answer the ulama have given is that in this dunya, whatever blessings and ni'matin that we are enjoying, the lazzatin, the delicacies that we're enjoying, the clothing and the adornment and the ornaments and the ease, the life of luxury and comfort. So all these ni'matin that we have, there is a cost to it. There is a payment that we have to make for it. We'll understand this through an example that if a person goes to a hotel to eat something, you can order whatever you like and you can eat whatever you like, but at the end of the day, you have to make a payment. In the same way, We are asking these ni'mate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is giving these ni'mate to us, and we are enjoying this ni'mate, but we have to make a payment for these blessings. And the payment will come to a mu'min in the form of this zaqta qabr, the pressing of the grave. If a person is doesn't have too much dunya, then this zaqta, this pressing will be little. And if a person is very wealthy, then the zakta will be a bit more. It will be proportional to the blessings that a person enjoyed in this life. So every person will have to face this pressing of the grave. Yes, there is one difference, however. A mu'min, a believer, and an unbeliever, both of them will face this pressing, but there is one difference. Imagine that your hand gets stuck inside the door. The door presses your finger and you're in extreme intense pain. That pain remains for so many days. That's one kind of pressing. Something pressed your hand. And sometimes it happens that you have some headache and you ask your daughter that press my head, and she is pressing your head. And when she is pressing your head, now you're getting some comfort, some relief. So both actions technically are pressing. But one action will be a source of pain, which is the finger coming inside the door. And the other action will be a source of relief, which is someone pressing your head. So in the dunya, for people who are distant from Allah, people who are unbelievers, when they face this zaqta in their grave, it will be a painful one. And for the mu'min, when he faces his zakhta, this pressing in the grave, it will be like the headache in the head. It will be a source of relief for that person. And whatever small sins that a person has, they will be washed away. They will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So zakhta qabr, the pressing of the grave, is also one way through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of a person. Eighth, there are 10 ways. Number 8. Ahwalu yawmil qiyamah wa karbuha wa shada'iduha. Which means that on the day of Qiyamah, when a person will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the khawf, the fear of that day, the severity of that day, that severity and the hardship of that day will also become a means for the forgiveness of sins. And that day will be so severe and so intense. The Prophet ﷺ said, in fact, different Anbiya ﷺ, they will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, Nafsi. And people will also be very parishan, they will be very worried. Every person will be drowning in their sins, in the sweat of their sins. Someone will be, you know, their sins will be up till their ankle, some till their knees, some till their stomach, and some all the way will be completely drowned and drenched in the sweat of their sins. And Hadith Mubarak, it's mentioned that the sweat will be like a water, and stench will be coming out from this. It'll be hot water. It'll be boiling water. And the sun will be blazing, scorching on their heads. And the sweat will be pouring from every part of their body. So there'll be some khawf, there'll be fear in that situation. And then the fire of the Jahannam will also be blazing, and people will be able to see those flames rising up. And when a person will see that, his fear will increase. That fear and that severity and intensity that a person will experience on the day of judgment, that is also another means through which a person's sins are forgiven. The second last thing through which a person's sins are forgiven is shafa'atun nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ahli dhunubi yawm al-qiyamah. That on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ is going to intercede on behalf of the sinning members of his ummah. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a choice. خُيِّرْتُ بَيْنَ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ نِصْفُ أُمَّتِي الْجَنَّةِ وَبَيْنَ الشَّفَاعَةِ فَاخْتَرْتُ الشَّفَاعَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a choice that, oh my beloved, I can forgive the sins of half the members of your ummah, and I can make them enter into Jannah. That's one option. Or the second option is that I can give you the right to intercede, the right to do shafa'at, and then you can intercede on behalf of your ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَاخْتَرْتُ الشَّفَاعَ, that I chose shafa'a, chose intercession. And the reason is that the Prophet ﷺ wanted that through my intercession, I will allow even more than half the members of my ummah to enter into Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ is going to intercede on behalf of the sinning members of this ummah. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give them Jannah. Allah ta'ala is going to forgive them and enable them to enter into Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said that every Nabi of Allah has been given a very special dua to Allah ta'ala. It's such a special dua that whatever they ask Allah, Allah will give it to them. In the same way, man'an, Allah will accept it. And all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they made their dua to Allah. So one sahabi asked her, Ya Rasulullah, did you also get this dua? And the Prophet said that, yes, Allah also gave me my dua, but I haven't used my dua yet. I have stored my dua as a provision for the Akhirah on the day of Qiyamah, when the Hisab Kitab will be, when my Ummah and the Hisab Kitab will be, my Ummah unka Hisab Kitab ho raha hoga, right? When my Ummah, the reckoning will be happening at that time, I'm going to make my dua, I'm going to use my dua, and I will not enter into Jannah until the last member of my Ummah will enter into Jannah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we should try to send durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ as much as possible. 100 times istighfar, and then at least 100 times daily we should send durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. We should try to adorn ourselves with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This shifa'at will be for those people who would respect the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And today people see that people, they disrespect the sunnah. They, in the name of fashion, culture, design, they leave, they mock, they make fun of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We forget the masnoon du'as of the Prophet ﷺ. Even people who are religious, they forget the sunnah du'as. So we should try that we should do ihtimam of sunnah, of reviving the sunnah, the adab of the sunnah, the akhlaq of the sunnah, the du'as of the sunnah in our homes. We should learn the masnoon du'as, make use of those masnoon du'as before sleeping, after waking up, before eating, after eating. And when we do these, when we use these masnoon du'as, as a result of this, we can become mustahik, we can become recipients of the shafaat of the Prophet ﷺ. And if we don't do this, then it might become difficult to get the shafaat on that day. What if the Prophet ﷺ looked at us and said that you preferred the ways of other people? You preferred the libas, the clothing of other people. You preferred the lifestyle of other people, not my lifestyle. You like that other lifestyle. What will happen to us at that day, at that time? So we should try to bring the sunnah in our life, in every aspect of our life, so that we can become mustahik of the shafaat of the Prophet ﷺ. And the 10th and the final thing is rahmatullahi wa afwuhu wa maghfiratuhu bila sababin min al ibad. That on the day of Qiyamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive His servants without any sabab, without any cause, without any reason. Allah will shower His rahmah upon them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them enter into Jannah. A mother, she loves her son, And the child might slap his mother. The mother will hold and kiss the hands of his son. The child will do badtameezi, he will do will disrespect her. But the mother thinks that I'm the mother. She is in love with her child. Whatever the son does, she loves it. She thinks this is innocence, this is cute, and she is kissing the hands of the son through which she slapped her. In one hadith, it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has rahmah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only did izhar, only made apparent a fraction of His rahmah on this world. And because of that fraction, we have all these love in this life. The love between husband and wife, the love between parents and children, the love between one insan and the other insan, the love between animals, birds, whatever muhabbat, whatever love we see, it's just one fraction of that one part of Allah's rahmah that is here in this earth. 900 or 999 parts of rahmah are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will open up that part of rahmah on the day of Qiyamah. And that's something to think about. That Allah Ta'ala is so merciful and so kareem with the believers. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا Allah says that, O my servants, if you can save your iman in this dunya, you save your iman, safeguard your iman, protect, preserve your iman, and then meet me on the day of judgment with the iman intact, then look on the day of Qiyamah how much rahmah I will shower upon you. How much karam, how much ikram, how much fazl I will shower upon you. How much mercies and blessings and bounties I will shower upon you on that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive a person on that day. Only because of this reason that Inna Allaha bin Nasi la-raufur rahim. That Allah is very rauf and soft and merciful. Just like a mother, she is merciful and she is compassionate because of her motherhood. Allah, because of His rahmah, is very shafiq and compassionate towards His servant. And this rahmat of Allah will be so much, will be manifested on that day in such a degree. Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyib Rahmatullah has written that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to manifest His rahmah one by one, even shaitan will lift his head. And shaitan, for a moment, will also think that maybe I might also get forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if shaitan can get hope, if shaitan will be able to feel that hope, then imagine what will happen to the people who recited the kalama on that day. So whoever can save their kalama, they can die on this kalama, they can leave with their iman intact, Allah's rahmat will be upon them. And because of this rahmah, Allah will forgive them, will enable them to enter into Jannah. I just want to end with one last story. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah has mentioned that when on that day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His rahmah, and people who are destined for Jannah, they will enter into Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and ask them one by one to do shifaat. And for whomsoever they intercede, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pick them up and place them inside Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call the ulama, the shuhada, the sulaha, the scholars, the martyrs, the righteous people, and even the am, the normal jannati, and ask them to intercede. And when they will intercede, all the people will be that person who has even an atom's worth of iman in his heart, they will also be placed out of Jahannam and will be made to enter into Jannah. And then after this, only those people will be left in Jahannam who are either unbelievers or munafiqeen or mushrikeen, or those who had an iman which was even less than an atom's worth. These people will be left in Jahannam. And then this fire would continue. And then after some time, Allah's rahmah will address them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make there will be some kind of a wall between those people in Jahannam who were the kafir, who were the unbelievers and the mushrik, idol worshippers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make this wall transparent so that they can see each other. They can see who's inside Jahannam at that time. So hence people in Jahannam will begin to see. And when they will see each other, so the unbelievers and the idol worshippers, they will start taunting some other people that, look, we used to worship the idols and we are here inside Jahannam, but you used to call yourself a believer. You used to call yourself and say that I'm a believer. And even you're also here. You said that I'm a Muslim, but you're also here in the same destination as us. You're also burning with us in the fire. When the unbelievers and the idol worshippers will start taunting these people, so these people in Jahannam will start crying. And Allah already knows what's inside their heart, but Allah, just to make it apparent, will call Angel Jibreel al-Islam and ask that, go check out, why are these people crying? What do they want from me? And he will say that, Allah, these people, now the mushrikeen and the idol worshippers and these unbelievers are now taunting them, that you're also inside the same fire as us. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Jibreel, that take these people, take these servants of mine out of Jahannam. These people who are being taunted, take them out of Jahannam. And whatever blackness and darkness has come on their jism, on their body, because of the fire, they will be taken to one place where they will be purified. They'll be given a ghusl. And when they will be purified, their jism will become normal. It will become fine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his rahmah, will allow them to enter into Jannah. But when they enter into Jannah, on their forehead, it will be written, Utqa'ur Rahman. That these are people who got emancipation from the hellfire because of Rahman. Utqa'ur Rahman. They were emancipated from the hellfire because of the rahmat of Rahman. Yani, you can think about, these are people who just barely passed. That they failed, but Allah just passed them in any case. In reality, they failed. But sometimes the examiner can just sort of let them go. Maqbool. So Allah let them go. Allah allowed them to enter into Jannah. When they will enter into Jannah, they will start living there for some time. And then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says that the other Jannati will start teasing them. That, look, we were able to get into Jannah because of Allah's rahmah first. We got here first, but you are grade E, right? Or a D minus. You just made it through because of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there'll be sort of teasing, like pulling them in Jannah. And at that time, these people, the utqa ur rahman, they will again turn towards Allah and make dua that, oh Allah, when out of your rahmah, you have given us Jannah, now, Allah, you have given us this one blessing of Jannah. Allah, we ask you that please take away this stamp on our forehead. And Allah will accept that dua, and Allah will remove even that mark and that stamp from their foreheads. And then they will be living with the other Jannati in Jannah forever. After completing and narrating this hadith mubarakah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, then he says, that I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can include me amongst the utqa ur rahman on the day of Qiyamah. Ki kash, I wish that my name can also be included among those people who barely made it through, who failed but made it through because of the rahmat of Allah ta'ala. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also shower his rahmah upon us. May Allah ta'ala shower his maghfirah upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use any one of these ways in order to forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include our names among those people whom he has forgiven. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العظيم وحب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبي ورحمتك أرجى عندي من عملي. اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبي. اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبي ورحمتك أرجى عندي من عملي. ربي إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي، فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات والأحياء منه والأموات. يا الله يا رب كريم. الله، we are your sinning slaves and servants. ظلمنا أنفسنا. Allah, we have bruised and zulm on ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight. Allah, in this month of Ramadan, in this Ashra of Maghfirah, Allah, we ask you to shower your Maghfirah upon us. Allah, shower your Rahmah upon us. Allah, shower your forgiveness upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower in, Ya Allah, accept our Tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, presenting ourselves to you, presenting all the sins before you, all the sins that we remember, all the sins that we have forgotten, all the sins that we have ever done in our life, all the sins, Ya Allah, that we did, but when we made Tawbah, then we fell back into those sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're presenting our whole life to you, our whole history to you, our every page of the book of deeds to you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower your maghfirah. Allah, wipe away our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, wipe away the sins. Allah, wipe away the effects of sins. Allah, wipe away all the effects of sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, wipe away the sins from the book of deeds, from the memories of the angels who wrote down that sins, from the memory of the limbs which we used to commit that sin, Allah, from the memory of the piece of earth on which we sinned. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, erase the records of that sin. Allah, Ya beloved Nabi Salatu Islam said, Atta ibu min al-dhambi kamal la dhamba lahu. The person who makes tawbah is like that person who's never sinned in his life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant. Allah, we ask you for the tawfiq to make such a kamal tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we offer these words of tawbah to you. Allah, we recite these tawbah, kalamat of tawbah to you. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Allah, the first tawbah. Allah, Allah, Father Sidna Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a mistake. Allah, you taught him these words of Tawbah. Allah, we are the Bani Adam, we are the sons and the daughters of Sidna Adam alayhi salam. Allah, we also made mistakes in our life. Allah, we are also turning to you with the same kalamat of Tawbah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us, Allah will surely be amongst the zalimeen. Allah, we'll be amongst the oppressed ones. We'll be among the lost ones. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah. Allah, take our names out from the list of the people destined for Jahannam. Allah, emancipate us from the Jahannam. Allah, emancipate us from the hellfire. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, decree us, Ya Allah, to enter into Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for your special rahmah. Allah, we ask you for your special maghfirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, in these months, these days and nights of Ramadan, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said that thousands of people, Allah, the names are taken away. The names, people who are destined and decreed for Jahannam, Allah, you take their names out from that and Allah, you place them and you enable them to enter into Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make this night a night of Maghfirah for us. Allah, make this Laylatul Maghfirah for us. Allah, make this night a Laylatul Rahmah for us. Allah, make this Laylatul Itkum Minan Nar for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are the sinning members of this Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah. Allah, if you don't want to forgive us, Allah, still forgive us. Allah, our hal is like that charwaha, that shepherd who made dua to you. Allahumma Aghfir. Allah, forgive me. وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَغْفِرَ فَغْفِرَ. And if you don't want to forgive, Allah, still forgive me. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also make to you that same plea, same dua. Allahumma aghfir. Allahumma aghfir. Allahumma aghfir. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَغْفِرَ فَغْفِرَ. Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, you are arhamur rahimeen. Ya Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah. Allah, if there is any sin because of which, Allah, we have fallen below, Ya Allah. Allah, we have gone below, Ya Allah. Allah, we have disgraced ourselves before your eyes. Allah, we have embarrassed ourselves before your eyes. Allah, we have humiliated ourselves before your eyes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask to forgive that sin. Forgive all those sins, Ya Allah, that are a source of embarrassment, that are a source of disgrace before you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept our tawbah tonight. Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have iman in you. Allah, sometimes because of our nafs and shaitan, Allah, you fall into our sins. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have muhabbat for you. Allah, we have muhabbat, Ya Allah, for the Salihin, for the Siddiqeen. And Ya Allah, we ask you to accept this muhabbat that we have for them. Allah, make us also amongst the Salihin. Allah, make us also amongst the Sadiqeen. Allah, we accept that, Ya Allah, we have done baghawat against your hukum. Allah, so many commandments, Allah, we left them. We became lazy about them. Allah, we went against them. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we know that you are Kareem. Allah, we know that you are our Malik. Allah, we ask you out of this sifat that you are our Malik. Allah, send karam upon us. Allah, you are our Malik. Being our Malik, Allah, shower rahmah upon us. Allah, shower mercy upon us. Shower maghfirah upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we don't have any words that we can present to you. Allah, we know, Ya Allah. Allah, it's no. We don't have any excuse, Ya Allah. Allah, it's our own nafs, Ya Allah. Allah, this nafs was the culprit, Ya Allah. Allah, this nafs is amara. Allah, this nafs commands us towards sue and sins. Allah, Allah, do tazkiyah of this nafs. Islah of this nafs. Make this nafs nafs-e mutmainna. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no excuse, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you, Allah, to forgive us bila sababin, Ya Allah. Bila sabab, Ya Allah, shower your rahmah upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. We don't have the tongue to make dua to you. Allah, our tongues are, we lie with our tongues. Allah, we have impurity on our tongue. Allah, we have impurity in our thinking. Allah, we have impurities on our heart. We have sakhti in our heart, blackness and hardness in our heart. Allah, our whole jism is, Ya Allah, soiled with sins, bruised and scarred with sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you out of your maghfirah and your rahmah, Allah, that you shower us with your rahmah. Allah, don't look at us, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you not to look at our deeds, not to look at our amal, not to look at our duas. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to look at your rahmah, to look at your maghfirah, to look at the oceans of your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to shower us, Ya Allah, that rahmah upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are scared of that baddua of Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, who said that let that person be destroyed who found a Ramadan and still was not able to get himself forgiven. And your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said ameen to that dua. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us from that destruction. Allah, save us from that destruction. Allah, save us from that destruction. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, decree forgiveness for us, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us for all our sins, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower Allah, one glance of rahmah. Allah, give us one glance of rahmah. Allah, one gaze of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Allah, for just one gaze of rahmah. Allah, one gaze of rahmah will be enough for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, give us that one gaze of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have no door to go to except you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has shown us your door. And he has also told us that other than this, there is no other door that you can go to. Allah, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to ask before this door. They used to do sajda before this door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, all the awliya, Allah, your beloved awliya also used to ask before this door. Allah, our parents also used to do sajda before this door of yours. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we are also here, Allah, before your door. Allah, we are also standing at this door. Allah, we are also asking you to open this door for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if this door remains closed for us, Allah, there is no other door to go for us, Ya Allah. There is no other door where we can go, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, open this door of mercy for us. Allah, open this door of rahmah for us. Allah, open this door of maghfirah for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, let us inside, Ya Allah. Allah, enable us to enter, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower your rahmah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, don't turn us empty-handed. Don't turn us, Ya Allah, empty, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Kareem.
Allah Kareem, we have expectations with Kareem. Allah, even in dunya, if there is a person who is Kareem, Allah, people have hopes, people have aspirations, people have expectations that if we go to that Kareem person, he won't reject us, he won't turn us empty-handed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Arhamur Rahimeen, you are Rahimul Masakeen, you are Khairur Rahimeen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the most merciful of the merciful ones. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the most Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also come to you with some small expectations, with some hopes in our heart, with some aspirations and ambitions in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fulfill these hopes, Ya Allah. Allah, we have seen in Ramadan that the fakir of Ramadan, he leaves his house and he tells his children, so don't worry, I will get something for you to eat. It's the month of Ramadan. I will not come back empty-handed. Allah, that fakir of Ramadan has so much hope that it's the month of Ramadan. I won't come back empty-handed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are also the fakir. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have also hope in you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, don't turn us empty-handed, Ya Allah. Allah, don't, Ya Allah. Allah, fulfill our hopes, Ya Allah. Allah, fulfill the expectations that we have, Ya Allah. Allah, shower us with your rahmah and maghfirah. Allah, shower us with your karam and your fazl. Allah, shower us with your muhabbah and your ma'rifah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you from you, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you to adorn us with the sifat of the ashikeen, with the sifat of the muhibbeen, with the sifat of the muqarrabeen, with the sifat of the mahbubeen, with the sifat of the muttaqeen, with the sifat of the muhsineen, with the sifat of the khashi, with the sifat of the tawabin, with the sifat of the mustaghfirin, with the sifat of the mutatahirin, Allah, with the sifat of the sabirin and shakirin, the khashi'in and zakirin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us the sifat of all your makbuleen, of all your beloved awliya kamileen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us, Ya Allah, to follow in the footsteps of the nabiyeen, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, the salihin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these duas from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever pious intentions we have in our hearts, Allah, we ask you to grant us more than what we can ask from you. Allah, grant us according to your Kareemi and Rahimi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, whatever duas we should have asked but we weren't able to ask, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to grant those duas to us also. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alaina innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.